Cursing, Sergio backed away and stalked out of the kitchen, leaving me alone with my thoughts. No longer thirsty, I placed the glass on the counter and tried to get off the countertop. Yeah, that wasn't working very well. My leg wouldn't let me maneuver. After 5 minutes of trying not to kill myself, I slumped against my knees and waited for footsteps to come down the hall. Wonder of all wonders, it wasn't Tex that had come searching for me, but Nixon.
"You weren't in bed,"
he snapped, his cold eyes fierce. "Right," I sighed. I was trapped on the countertop.
"Mind telling me how you got there?"
"I flew." Nixon grinned. "Smartass. Love you too, brother." His smile fell. He took a few tentative steps towards me.
"Tell me you know it's bad."
I nodded.
"Tell me you know there will be death."
I nodded again. He cursed and wiped his face with his hands.
"Tell me in the end,"
his voice shook.
"Tell me you'll do what I say."
"I can't." With trembling hands, I wiped away the tears already running down my face. "I still love him."
"I know."
Nixon picked me up into his arms and carried me down the hall.
"That's the damn problem."
I sighed against Nixon's chest. His tattooed arms were hanging onto me so tight you would have thought I was the most precious thing in the world to him. Then again, we were all we had. Everyone else? Dead.
"Mo."
Nixon's voice cracked as he placed me on the bed and then sat down on the mattress, his weight causing it to creak.
"The commission? We weren't born yet.
The first one." I laid my head on his shoulder. "Did lots of people die?"
"Well,"
Nixon chuckled,
"it wasn't exactly a fiesta."
"Bite your tongue," I scolded. "Sicilians do not have fiestas. We have parties, bloodbaths, you know, the cool kind."
"Right."
He sucked in his lip ring and leaned against his legs, his right foot tapping against the floor. Made him appear nervous, which, if you knew my brother, was totally out of character. "Are you okay?"
"That would be a giant ass no."
Nixon's laugh was hollow.
"I think she may be pregnant."
"Who?" His foot stopped tapping.
"Who else, genius? Trace."
"Oh. Well, that was a bit of a shock." "Why do you think that?"
"Because I know her. Know her body."
And there went that foot tapping again.
"And it suddenly all makes sense, you know?"
"What does?"
"Blood,"
Nixon whispered hoarsely.
"It makes so much damn sense, Mo. I would do anything. Anything for blood."
"Like a vampire?" I joked, punching him in the arm.
"Like a vampire,"
he echoed, his voice losing its edge.
"Mo."
He grabbed my hands.
"I will always protect you. I'll always protect what's mine. But the choice Tex is going to have to make."
He squeezed lightly.
"I guess I just need you to understand the pull that blood has on someone's loyalty."
His eyes filled with sadness.
"Regardless of how he feels for you, you aren't
blood," I whispered. "So you're saying..."
"I'm saying in the end, remember who you are."
Nixon shrugged.
"Remember who he is." I'm tired. I faked a yawn.
Right.
Oh, and Nixon? I gripped his hand together. Tell Trace I'm happy for her. Nixon's eyes narrowed.
Interesting.
What?
I would have thought you would have noticed by now. What with experiencing the same things, similar symptoms and such?
He crossed his arms. Yeah, well, I shrugged. Every pregnancy is different.
Just like life,
Nixon added.
Sleep tight, Mo.
I nodded, emotions clogging my throat. 2 hours later, a heavy weight descended on my bed, and large arms cocooned around my body. Tex, I whispered.
Yeah?
Enemies or lovers right now? He sighed and kissed my head.
Both. We'll always be both.
And I had my answer.
Chapter 21. Sometimes all you want to do is pull the covers over your head and pray the truth out of existence. Tex. The next morning came too soon. Sunlight flickered through the dark curtains, landing on my face. My body ached. My bones felt brittle, and I'd lost all feeling in my left arm. Mo snuggled closer to my body. My body decided it liked it and pressed against hers. I told it to stop. But, yeah, it had a mind of its own. Besides, when you fit so perfectly with someone, it's kind of hard not to want to fuse the pieces together. With a sigh, I pried myself away from her, the tingling sensation in my arm reminding me of the loss of her body. The chat with Nixon the day before hadn't gone well. My uncle had suddenly decided to go off the map. All the Sicilians were currently in flight to the States for the commission, and he'd disappeared like the bitch he was. Sergio, aka Shit for Brains, even tried tracing the cell number, and it was disconnected, meaning only one thing. He'd heard about the commission, and he knew what my next move was. Mother freaking splendid news. The meeting of the powers wasn't to take place for another week. We needed everyone to get adjusted, and Nixon had cheerfully given Luca and Frank the job of making sure no shots accidentally misfired. Yeah, I didn't envy them. Mo made a little noise in her sleep and flipped onto her back. God, she was beautiful. God, I was an asshole for not telling her that every damn day. Someone knocked softly on the door, then opened it. Trace's head poked through, staring at a calm Mo, and then glaring at me. Whoa! I held my hands up in innocence. I was staring at her, not aiming a gun. You choose her, Trace whispered. When it comes to making a choice, you always choose love. Screw blood. Are you drunk? I took a few steps towards her. No. A tear streamed down her cheek. You need to know. In the end, your life is about choices. They either make or break you. Don't let your past destroy your future. And if it already has, oh wise one? And by the way, this is weird. I haven't even had breakfast. How are you even able to think this early? Trace's brown eyes narrowed. With a flip of her dark hair, she shrugged. I'm un abandonado. I'm always watching. Vacation, I muttered. You should try it. You know, away from the boss. Tex, Trace snapped. I'm serious. When the time comes, it's not about what Nixon wants. It's what's best for her. With that, she closed the door, leaving me confused as hell and a bit curious as to what she put in her Cheerios to make her so awake at 7 a.m. Damn, Nixon had his hands full with that one. Always had, always will. I took one last look at Mo and left the room, making my way to the kitchen for some breakfast. Trace was sitting calmly at the table eating. What do you know, her Cheerios. Chase was in the process of stealing the box from her fingers while Mill hit him on the head with a newspaper. You know, like owners do to their dogs when they piss on their shoes. And Nixon, he was deep in conversation with Sergio, Luca, and Frank. "Did I sleep in or something?" I yawned, gaining everyone's attention.
"Ah, the beast's awake,"
Luca smirked. "Says the trained house cat." I flipped him off. I'd never been afraid of Luca. Hell, if anything, he should be afraid of me, of what I represented. He ignored my slight to his scariness and shrugged, taking a long sip of his coffee. I poured myself a cup of coffee and joined everyone in the kitchen. Nixon was the first to speak.
"We'll do it at the spot."
"The meeting?" I clarified. Nixon nodded and leaned back in his chair.
"We can control the environment there."
"And what exactly are we hoping to accomplish?" I asked.
"What we always aim to accomplish."
Frank ran a shaky hand through his silver hair.
"Peace."
Just then, Chase fell out of his chair on account of Mill pushing him, just as Trace freed the box of Cheerios and made a run for the pantry. "Can't even control our own breakfast, but world domination and peace? Good luck with that," I snickered. Luca licked his lips. His cold eyes watched me drink my coffee as though memorizing each movement.
"You will help us."
"And if I don't?"
"I'll shoot you."
Luca picked a piece of lint off his suit and glanced back at Nixon.
"It really is a lovely day. Why don't you take Tracy out for a nice morning walk? We have time to plan later."
"My death?" I grumbled.
"What other choice do you have?"
A muscle popped in Nixon's jaw.
"Either you stand with us or you stand with them. You stand with us, they try to kill you, but at least we protect you. You stand with them, they still try to kill you, and in the end we have to."
"And why is that?" I licked my lips. "Why the hell would you have to kill me if I took my rightful place? Because really that's the only messed up piece to this entire puzzle. I killed my own father, so why shouldn't I take his spot? What makes you, Nixon, any better than me? What makes what I have to do any less damning than what all of you did when you became the head of the family?" The entire room fell silent. Even Chase and Mill stopped fighting.
"You truly do not know,"
Frank finally whispered.
"Do you, son?"
I set my coffee onto the table and wiped my face with my hands. "Know what?" Frank placed his hand across mine, mumbling a prayer in Italian before whispering,
"You have a sister."
The room went red, and then black, and then red again. "What does that have to do with me?"
"Damn near everything,"
Lucas snorted.
"I think it's time we adjourn. Let Tex savor the fact that he still has some family worth seeking out."
I was still stunned when Frank put his hand on my shoulder and whispered,
"Blood always wins. Mo."
My sister? Nixon. Holy shit. Choices. They'd been leaving hints all along. They were going to make me choose. One look at Nixon said it all, because I knew he would choose Mo every single time. If he'd never met her, he would choose her. Just like I would choose my sister. To protect her, I would join the devil. To protect her, I would fight my friends.
Chapter 22. Being in the mafia is like playing house. Everything is fine until someone pulls out a gun. Mo. By the time I made it down to breakfast, it was more like lunch. Chase and Mill had left a note that they'd gone out shooting, and Nixon was just getting ready to take Trace to the grocery store. Weird. How normal we all seemed. But nothing about our family was normal, which I was reminded of yet again when Nixon strapped ammo to the inside of his ankle. "Where's Tex?" I cleared my throat and crossed my arms. Nixon and Trace shared a tense look. With a curse, Nixon mumbled,
"Hell if I care."
Trace smacked him in the shoulder, but he just shook his head and gently took her arm, leading her out of the house.
"We'll be back this afternoon," Nixon called. I left plenty of men, and you do still have Tex here with you, so all should be well. You know, unless he's asked to choose. Nixon!
Trace yelled his name so loud, even I was shocked. She never yelled. Ever. He blushed slightly and ducked his head as they walked out the door. Okay, that was weird. I poured myself a cup of coffee and grabbed a granola bar from the pantry. It was a really pretty day. No way was I staying inside while everyone else was out doing something. I was sick of being babied. Even if I did get shot, it wasn't like I'd almost died or anything. I ate the granola bar and choked down the coffee, then limped towards the back door.
Going somewhere?
Sergio asked, peeking out from behind the newspaper. Hell. I smiled sweetly. Care to join me? His gaze unwavering, he simply answered, too late. I shrugged and shouldered open the door, limping across the backyard. The tree, just like everything else, looked harmless. I'd spent years climbing that tree. I imagined I was a princess in a tower, just waiting for my prince to come rescue me. It didn't help that Nixon always told me stories about princesses and towers, convincing me that I was like the girls in the story. It's kind of how the whole mafia princess thing came into play. Tex thought it was hilarious and teased me about it relentlessly when we were little. Yeah, I'd kill to have him tease me right now. What had I been thinking? 1 hour? Was I insane? Delusional? And further to the point, was that 1 hour enough to bond him to me forever? It had to be, because I wasn't so sure he would give me another chance with him. He wore his anger like a shield. Even when we slept, I could feel it coming off of him in waves. With a sigh, I placed my hands on the tree and lifted myself into the air, my bum legs swinging against the bark. At least it only ached a bit today. My legs dangled, nearly touching the ground. How pathetic. I couldn't get any higher. But at least I was alone. With my thoughts. I wondered if I would do things differently. If I could go back in time, would I have chosen not to protect Tex? Or would I have gone to Nixon first, asked for his help rather than make a deal with a ghost? My text alert went off. G. You tried, Mo, and that's all we could ask. In the end, hopefully it will be enough to keep them from killing him. Nobody wants the head to come down on the tail. Me. We'll have to just keep trying. G. Yes, we will. I thought back to that night, closing my eyes as the memories wrapped themselves around me like a choking sensation. Mo? Sergio caught me as I stumbled against him.
Are you all right?
Stupid Tex. I grumbled. My words felt heavy in my throat. I hate him. Make me forget him, please. It's only ever been him. I need it to be someone else. It was after Mill and Chase's wedding, and I'd drunk way too much wine, thinking I could drown my sorrows in the glass, apparently. Sergio sighed and pulled me into his arms.
You think I want what isn't mine to take?
I know you do. I pulled back, more like stumbled back, and poked him in the chest. You've always liked me. Admit it. Sergio chuckled and held his hands up in the air.
Guilty. But you'll hate yourself. And in the end, I'm positive you'll hate me.
Let me hate you too, then. Let me hate you as much as I hate him. As much as I hate me. Oh, Mo. Sergio pulled me back into his arms and kissed my forehead.
Fill the world with hate, and all you get is hate. Fill your soul with more hate, and it breeds hate. hate this world needs less of. Love, however, I could do that.
Don't love me, I spat. The last person that loved me didn't mean it.
He did, Sergio whispered. And you know that.
Please, I begged, my voice hoarse. Please just make love to me.
What lengths would you go to save him?
Save him? Sergio gently placed me in the chair next to his bed and ran his fingers through his long, thick hair.
Tex, what would you do to save him?
Anything, I choked. I would do anything. But why does he need saving?
Everyone, came a familiar voice behind me, should be given a second chance, Monroe. Don't you think?
I turned and, with a gasp, promptly passed out. I jolted awake. Crap. Mafia rule number one, don't fall asleep in a tree unarmed. I stretched my arms above my head.
What are you doing?
Tex yelled, running towards me, fury etched in every plane of his face. Oh, yay, another lecture. Like I hadn't been getting that enough. What with Sergio, Nixon, and Tex, it was like living under constant parental guidance. What's it look like I'm doing? I closed my eyes again and leaned back.
Funny you should ask.
Tex's voice was closer now. I could almost feel the heat of his body.
Because it looks like you're climbing a tree. But we both know you wouldn't be stupid enough to do that, right?
I blinked my eyes open.
What? One of us is pregnant. Newsflash? It isn't the one with a penis. So I can't climb trees now?
The injustice of it all, I challenged, hating how much I loved his stormy blue eyes and how fiercely protective they looked in that moment.
Sure you can.
He gripped the branch above my head and lifted himself effortlessly next to me.
But for future reference, I'd just appreciate it if you'd at least put a net underneath the tree and strap tiny parachutes to your ankles. You know, just to be safe.
I opened my mouth to speak, but he interrupted me.
Oh, and when I say tree, I mean that one.
He pointed to a tiny little tree that was planted next to the house and probably couldn't even support the weight of a bird. Are you saying you want me to sit on that tree when I have an itch to climb? Tex grinned, his smile reaching the corners of his eyes as he winked and looked back at the tiny tree.
Sure. Why not?
And I'm not strapping parachutes to my ankles, weirdo.
Hmm.
Tex tilted his head and flicked my shoe.
At least they're swollen enough that they may break your fall. So you've got that in your favor.
My ankles are not swollen, you ass. It was an impossibility. Not that he needed to know that.
Mo, if I was in a shipwreck and holding onto your ankles was my only hope for survival, I'd live.
I cracked a smile, then pushed against his muscled chest. Why are you picking on me? Don't you have spiders to kill and ants to examine with a magnifying glass?
Aw, low blow.
Tex chuckled.
You had to bring up my childhood torture methods.
I saved those ants. I sniffed. No thanks to you.
Want to know a secret?
Tex asked, looking back at the house and then leaning in until our lips were an inch away. Yeah, I whispered.
Tell me. I wanted you to save the ants.
Oh, really? My eyebrows arched in surprise. So you tortured things in order for me to...
What? Well, that's easy.
Tex shrugged.
You had a weakness for the innocent. If I wanted you to come running, all I needed to do was harm the weak.
Evil. Necessary, he said with a firm nod.
Especially necessary, given I wanted the great princess's attention.
He cleared his throat.
So we're in the tree.
Why? Because I, not we, I was thinking.
Awesome. Well, can we think somewhere on the ground where I'm not an easy target for would-be assassins? I mean, it's been 12 hours since I've been shot at. I really don't want to push my luck.
Aw, where's the bravery? Let's put a target on your back and paint your face red.
Think that will work?
I laughed.
Aw, baby. If you want to see me blush, all you have to do is ask.
Tex said in a gravelly voice. All notes of humor drained from his tone as his eyes drank me in. I shivered.
Are you cold?
His eyebrows knit together.
Let's get you inside and I'll find a blanket.
I nodded, hating myself even more. He was treating me like a princess, and I wasn't even pregnant. That I knew.
Wow.
I never thought I'd be one of those girls. The ones who actually plotted how to get the mafia boss to slip up and impregnate me, so the lie could be true.
Tex jumped out of the tree and turned, holding his hands up to me.
I smiled and fell against his chest. Just as a figure in black stepped out on the back deck and shot Tex in the leg, I screamed. But my scream was silenced by a blunt object hitting my temple. And everything went completely black.
Chapter 23. Blood always tastes metallic, but before the metal even enters your consciousness, it tastes forbidding, like you know something's wrong, but you're powerless to stop it. Sergio. Shit, that hurt. I rubbed my head. My temples were pounding. Was I hungover? Wait. It was morning, and I jolted to my feet and grabbed my gun. The house was silent. Quietly, I stepped around the corner into the kitchen. Two men were laying on the ground. Blood pooled at their backs. Mother of God, what had happened? I walked out into the front of the house where a few of our men were normally stationed and cursed. Dead. Five of them. All dead. Shot in the head. I leaned down to feel each pulse. Nothing. A piece of white paper fluttered on the last man's chest. Are you listening now? Said the note. Shit! I kicked the ground and pulled out my cell. Nixon answered on the first ring. What? It's the men. My men? I was knocked out. We've got seven dead. Where's Mo? His question swamped my body with a chill. I dropped my phone and raced full blast to the backyard, almost tripping on my own feet as I made it to the place where I'd last seen her, only to find one of her flip-flops on the ground, and blood right next to it. I fell to my knees. They had no idea what they'd just done. I knew, though. I knew who did it, just like Nixon knew. And I knew, in the end, the war they'd just started wouldn't just go down in history. It would freaking define it.
Chapter 24. Doing anything to save someone isn't really a sacrifice. Not if you truly love them. Tex.
Wakey, wakey.
Something slapped me on the face. With a grunt, I tried to open my eyes, but the pain was exploding down my leg. Shit, had I been shot? Again? I said, another kick to my good leg that was soon to be bad if the bastard kept kicking. Get the hell up. And? I blinked my eyes, adjusting to the dark room. Do a little circus dance? I mean, another kick this time to my shin. I wheezed. Damn, at least stop tickling me. If you want me to dance, just ask. I don't care that 3 more kicks. Well, I was going to be lame the rest of my life, nothing more to say about that. I'd been tortured many times, always came out with scars, but I hated, despised, freaking despised getting kicked. It was degrading. Fine, fine. I tried to rise to my feet, but my left leg was still bleeding. I could feel the warmth seeping through my jeans, and my right leg was bruised from my ankle to my hip. Tex! Mo screamed. What? Why was Mo with me? The events of the afternoon came crashing down around me like a blanket of rage. With a shout, I ran in the direction of her voice, but was stopped by another kick to the back of my knees. Shit! I fell to the ground. Stop kicking me! I'll stop kicking you, the heavily accented voice teased, when you stop irritating me with every breath you take. So first, I moved to my knees and faced the stranger. You want me to get up and dance, and now you want me to stop breathing? Anyone ever tell you that you have ridiculously high demands? You're mouthy. Ah, you staring at my mouth? I joked, backing away, more like sliding away towards Mo on my legs. You will not reach her, the voice mocked. She's tied up, but never fear. She can see you. She will watch everything we do to you. At least give her popcorn, I muttered. I'll do better. The man's footsteps echoed as he walked towards me. Then suddenly the lights flickered on. We were in a basement, no windows, no doors that I could see, and really poor lighting. Mo was to my right, chained to a freaking chair, and the man walking towards me was none other than my uncle. I smiled when he stopped in front of me. You think this is funny? He spat, his eyes damn near popping out of their sockets. It's so damn hilarious, I'm having a hard time not having a case of the giggles. I narrowed in on his gaze. His mouth was tightened in a firm line, his eyes clear but dilated. He was either high or really pissed off. Faint bruising darkened the skin beneath his eyes. He hadn't been sleeping, and by the smell of him, he'd possibly been on the run. Tell me, I smirked. You get your invitation to the commission? His nostrils flared. Oh, wait, did they send it to my house by accident? My bad, I'm sure they're just confused as to who owns the power to the Compeezy clan. If you want, I can give them a change of address form or something. Snarling, he backhanded me across the left cheekbone, almost ripping apart skin with his giant-ass ring. You step up, you die. He wiped his hands on a silk cloth he'd pulled from his pocket and snapped his fingers. The 2 giant dudes came rushing towards me and lifted me into the air, then sat my ass onto the coldest metal chair ever created. So, I nodded, allowing them to tie me up. What is this? You kill me, deliver my head Goliath style, and then what? This? My uncle smiled. My son, this is me welcoming you to the family. Awesome, I nodded. So it's like a hazing ceremony. You gonna put some body paint on me? Because I have to say Mo would totally dig that. I winked in her direction. She gave me a watery smile, but said nothing. Had to stay strong for her. Had to be steel. Had to live. Had to survive. I'm going to cut out your tongue. My uncle grinned as if amused at the thought. And then I'm going to send it to your adopted family with a note, along with your girlfriend's fingers. Wife, I corrected. His eyes narrowed. I stopped the ceremony. She isn't your wife. Wow. Hate to break it to you, but she is. Check the files. Have one of your minions put their computer skills to the test. We are married. You kill her, you bring down the abandonados on your family. Your funeral, just saying. He examined me for a bit, then turned and addressed Mo. Where's your ring? I gave her a reassuring wink.
The bastard forgot to get me one on account that we got married in such a rush. I'm pregnant, she glared. Surprise, bitch. Oh, God, I loved that woman. I knew we were in a dire situation, but damn, I wanted to rip her clothes off and kiss her senseless.
So you... Uncle turned and angled his head at me. Would do anything for her?
No shit. Interesting. He reared back and slapped her across the face so hard she fell to the ground. Blood spewed from her mouth.
Stop, I yelled. Hit me, I'll take her punishment. Damn, do you even have a soul? She's pregnant. Proof?
My uncle pulled out a knife.
I could easily slice her from gut to chin and kill the spawn of your seed within her.
Shit, 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 shit.
You could?
I almost vomited. But again, you're forgetting something very, very important.
And that's what?
He laughed. She's the boss's sister. And the boss? Well, let's just say he's best friends with the Nicolazzi and Alfaro families. Ain't no way you're getting out of the country alive. Shit, they'd all die in order to kill you. You'd be bringing down the four families, including the DeLangs. I highly doubt you want to do that.
Sometimes, he fingered the knife, a man is desperate enough to take such chances.
Without any warning, he lunged for me and stabbed my thigh with his knife. I didn't yell. I simply stared at him, even though my vision was starting to get spotty.
I will torture you. He gave me an evil smile. Pray you survive it. Oh, I will, I said hoarsely. After all, I have an uncle to kill.
Chapter 25. Losing someone you love isn't the hardest thing in the world. It's watching it happen before your very eyes. That's hard. Mo. I'd never been in a situation like this before. I'd heard about it. I'd witnessed it. But I'd never lived through it. Wasn't so sure I was going to live through it now. Tex was still bleeding from getting shot in the leg, though by the way he had staggered towards me, I imagined it wasn't as bad as I first assumed. Not that it mattered, since he had a freaking knife sticking out of his shot-up leg at the moment.
So this is fun.
Tex spat out blood onto the cold cement floor. More blood dripped down his chin.
I agree.
Another slap from his uncle, followed by laughter.
I'm having the time of my life.
Tex's head fell back against the chair for a moment before he blinked in my direction. Blood caked his entire face, but his gaze was unwavering. I held on to the look he gave me. I cherished it, pulled it close and prayed that God would deliver us from the hellhole we were in. One thing I was hopeful for? That they wouldn't kill us. That they weren't that stupid. But that didn't mean I'd escape with all of my limbs attached to my body.
20 years, his uncle shouted. 20 years I've waited to take my rightful spot, and your father was this close.
He held out his fingers in front of Tex's face.
So very close to naming me his second. He was tired. He was ready to step down. And you go and kill him.
Aw, shit, man. Tex shook his head.
So you weren't smart enough to get it in writing or something?
Pity. His uncle screamed and punched him in the gut. Tex gagged as his body convulsed.
I am Alfonso Campisi, and I will be the next in line.
Then he burst out laughing, his head hanging a bit like he didn't have strength to lift it.
Holy shit. You could have totally starred in Gladiator. I am Alfonso Campisi.
His voice mimicked Alfonso's to perfection.
This,
Alfonso pulled the knife from Tex's thigh,
is no game.
Good,
I freaking hate Monopoly.
Alfonso lifted the knife into the air. Tex had finally pushed him too far.
Stop! I yelled. Please just stop!
The hand holding the knife paused in the middle of the downward stroke as Alfonso looked in my direction. Tex groaned and shook his head at me. The knife impaled itself again into his leg. Tex let out a string of expletives as Alfonso started making his way towards me. I instantly regretted my decision.
So...
He unchained me, then grabbed me by the hair and dragged me towards Tex.
You must love him. With all your heart.
Yes, I whispered. Desperately.
Then you'll do anything to secure his safety.
Yeah, I already had. And look how that worked out. Naturally. I lifted my chin and spat in Alfonso's face. He's 10 times the man you'll ever be.
So now you challenge my manhood?
Alfonso grinned.
How about I take you up on the offer then?
Offer? I squinted as the light above Alfonso's head flickered in my line of vision.
To save your love.
Alfonso tilted his head and reached out. Cupping my chin with his fingers, his thumb caressed my lower lip.
What will you give me?
Hell no!
Tex shouted, his voice filled with gravel.
I'd rather die than see her breathe the same air as you.
That? Alfonso dropped my chin and sneered at Tex.
Can be arranged. Boss?
One of the men was talking on his phone in hushed tones.
Boss!
What?
Alfonso roared. The guard held up the phone.
Problem.
Cursing, Alfonso wiped his hands on the rag from the metal table.
Fine. It will give the couple time to say goodbye.
With a laugh, he followed the guard out the door. I slumped against Tex's chair. What do you need?
Well, since you're taking orders, a hamburger and fries would be killer.
Tex sighed.
Or maybe a milkshake?
Yeah. I'm changing my order. Chocolate milkshake, stat. Tex? My voice shook. I can't joke right now. I can't. Not when you're bleeding, not when you could almost die. Not,
I'm not blood,
he said in a hollow voice.
Does it matter to the Abandonado princess what happens to me?
I awkwardly staggered to my feet and grabbed the rag from the table, wiping his face as I answered. The same could be said of me. I wiped across his lips. The blood had already started to dry.
I'm not blood. What does it matter to the Campisier?
Tex's eyes fluttered closed for a brief second before opening, nailing me to the spot, consuming my very heartbeat, making my pulse do nothing but scream his name.
It matters.
I nodded, touching the rag to the corner of his mouth. It matters. I wasn't sure if untying him would get us in more trouble, so I did the next best thing. I leaned down and kissed him. Our mouths met in a frenzy. He tasted like blood, which meant he was alive. My Tex was alive, and he was mine.
Chapter 26. When all hell breaks loose, all you can really do is hold on, and maybe close your eyes. Sergio.
Start at the beginning.
Nixon paced in front of me, waving his gun wildly in the air. You know, the gun that he didn't even have a safety on. When it pointed to my face, I sighed and leaned back in my chair. We'd been over it for the past hour, each detail, and we still had nothing. "Clearly I was taken from behind," I mumbled, embarrassed that I had been taken at all, and horrified that someone was able to even sneak by our men, which made me wonder what the hell type of people the Kempises actually were. Nixon sat the gun at the table and sat in the chair next to me.
"Where would he take them? He wouldn't be stupid enough to kill them."
Luca and Frank remained silent as they stared at the table. Yeah, the table wasn't going to help us folks. Then again, maybe they were just getting too old for this shit. I ran my hands through my hair.
"Mo, they'll let live."
The room fell silent, except for the hum of the fridge and the ticking of the grandfather clock in the hallway. Chase drummed his fingertips against the table and pulled out his phone.
"Does she have her cell? Given my specific skill set, don't you think I've already gone down every possible avenue of her rescue?"
I tried to keep my voice even.
"She doesn't have her phone. Tex doesn't have his phone. They're gone, and the only way we're getting them back is if we wait."
"We are not waiting," Nixon growled.
Trace put her hand on his back and started rubbing. Nixon flexed and unflexed his fist.
"There is no way to track her," I sighed. "I'm sorry, Nixon. We wait. We have to."
"We wait when I say we wait,"
Nixon yelled. I held up my hands in surrender.
"Fine, you're the boss."
Luca stood abruptly and marched out of the room, cell phone in hand.
"Way to piss everyone off, Sergio,"
Chase murmured.
"This isn't my fault,"
I shouted.
"I was taken from behind. You should have been paying attention,"
Nixon roared.
"What the hell were you doing? Watching a damn sitcom?
She was with Tex."
I jumped up from my chair.
"She was safe.
She is never safe with Tex."
Nixon jabbed his finger in my chest, pushing my legs back against the wooden chair.
"Never, do you understand? From here on out, you're her freaking shadow. I want to know how many times she tosses in her sleep. I want to know how many eyelashes she loses per hour. When we get her back, not if, but when we get her back, her life is more important than yours. Do we have an understanding?"
Rolling my eyes wouldn't be effective, but that's exactly what I wanted to do. And this was why I hated working for the family. I bit my tongue, allowing myself a few moments of sanity before speaking.
"We have an understanding."
"Good."
Nixon popped his knuckles and picked up his gun again.
"Put that down before you hurt yourself,"
Chase whispered, then gripped Mel's hand and whispered into her ear.
"They'll be fine.
Tex is an animal."
"That's the problem,"
Nixon interjected.
"He's an animal I can no longer control."
"You don't know that,"
Frank piped up.
"You know nothing of what happened."
It was true. Even the camera system had somehow been overridden, so we were literally blind on all fronts. How the hell had they infiltrated so quickly? The thought that it was planned entered my head, probably the same time Nixon's cold gaze met mine.
"No,"
I shook my head.
"Tex wouldn't do that."
"Would he?"
Nixon whispered.
"How else would they be able to infiltrate the house? It's a fortress."
"Nixon."
Trace held out her hands in front of her.
"No, we're talking about Tex, your best friend, Tex."
"The world is an ugly place,"
Nixon spat.
"You of all people should know that, Trace. After all, Phoenix was my best friend too, and look how that turned out."
"Enough."
Frank entered the room again, sliding his phone back into his pocket.
"They're 15 miles south of here."
"What?"
we all said in unison. My eyes narrowed to tiny slits.
"How do you know that?"
Luca met Frank's gaze. It was tired. Hell, they both looked like they needed a vacation.
"Oh, Sergio, I know a great many secrets. This one I just hoped to keep a little longer."
"All good things,"
Frank whispered.
"They must end,"
Luca agreed.
"Let's go."
Chapter 27. The Kiss of Death. What a way to go. Tex. Kissing Mo was easing the pain. Had I been dying, this was exactly how I wanted to go. With her tight body pressed against mine, with her hot breath tickling my lips, with her tongue teasing every inch of mine until I was ready to go insane. I wanted to wrap my hands around her, but they were still tied behind me. And it wasn't some crazy BDSM shit that had them tied. Nope, just my crazy family. Hell, I'd always envied Nixon and his family. I fought against the zip tie. Yeah, envy officially gone. Tex. Mo pressed another lingering kiss to my lips. I have to tell you something. It doesn't matter anymore because... Shots started firing from the outside. Get behind me, Mo. No! She crossed her arms. I'm not using you as a shield. Her eyes widened in horror. I said, get behind me now. She looked between me and the door. Look, if I pull the knife from your thigh, you may bleed like a bitch, but at least I can get you loose and... Mo! I wasn't above begging. Please, for the love of God, just let me do my job. Let me protect you. This is all I have. My body as your freaking shield, all right? My soul for yours. That's what I have right now. That's what I'd give to keep you safe. So I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. I'm demanding you get behind me before I He-Man my way out of this binding and rip off my damn hands in the process. With a stunned expression, she hobbled behind me. Crouch, I instructed. I want them to see me first, not you. If shots are fired, at least it won't hit your head. The shots kept echoing outside the door. Whoever was out there was seriously having a hell of a good time with their semi-automatic. More shouting, and then complete silence. I counted to three before the footsteps started. Funny how counting to three used to be something I was taught when I was little and had a tendency to go all rageaholic. Nixon had been the one to teach me to control the rage. He'd always said the most powerful men in the world weren't the ones who were angry, but the ones who knew where to direct their anger. I wanted to be powerful, so I learned to direct. I learned to collect the emotions and then use them to my benefit. So right now, I wasn't scared. I was pissed. Beyond pissed. Livid. Ready to lose my shit because Alfonso had taken something precious to me and exposed her to hell. And I wanted to be the one to send him there. I wanted to be the one to end this bloodshed, this battle within my family. I'd never fit in. I'd never felt complete. I'd always had this lingering feeling that something was missing in my life. Even Mo hadn't been able to fill it. But as I sat in that metal chair and counted to three, I thought about my life, about what I wanted it to mean. And I realized, for the first time in my life, it had to mean something, not just to Mo, but to my family, to blood. Nixon, the bastard, was right. I would choose blood because I refused to let things like this happen again. I refused to let Mo get hurt again. So I'd choose the opposite side, the enemy camp, if that meant that she was safe for the rest of her life. If it meant she could have the baby in a world full of peace rather than war. I'd choose blood every time. Without hesitation. Because the one thing Nixon never warned me about was that you may choose blood, not out of loyalty, but out of desperation, out of unyielding love for someone who wasn't blood to begin with. I would choose blood to save the ones who weren't. The door clicked open. It was too dark to see the tall hooded figure as it made its way across the cement floor. The lights were flickering, causing an almost eerie effect to the guy's entire body. He was dressed in ripped jeans, a gray hoodie, and had a large-ass AR-16 strapped to his chest.
So?
He sighed as if the weight of the world rested on his shoulders.
We meet again.
He pulled the hood down, and I almost passed out from the shock of it all. Mo reached for my hand, and I whispered the word I never thought would cross my lips again. Phoenix?
Chapter 28. Some people never die. Mo. Seeing him only meant one thing. I'd failed. Phoenix eyed me and shook his head just slightly. Well, crap, was I supposed to act like I didn't know he was alive? Tex turned to face me, just as Phoenix lifted his finger to his lips, as if swearing me to silence. Right. Hadn't I been doing that the whole time? Tex glanced between us and hung his head.
Can someone please tell me what the hell is going on?
Surprise? Phoenix offered with a lame lift of his shoulders. He looked like he'd just been to hell, played ping pong with the devil, lost, and was sent back to roam the earth, miserable and alone. Note the laughter. Tex's teeth clenched. And get me out of these damn zip ties.
That I can do.
Phoenix swung the gun behind him and pulled out a knife, then walked around the chair and sliced the bindings, just as Nixon, Luca, Chase, and Frank waltzed in.
Mo!
Nixon yelled, then blindly ran in my direction, dropping to his knees beside his best friend. He pulled me into his arms and damn near crunched my spine.
Are you okay? Did they hurt you?
No, they didn't hurt me. I'm fine. Holy crap, the ball was going to drop any minute now. Tex protected me. He got the brunt of it. Well, until this one, started shooting up the place. Luca cursed.
I said to make it quiet. There were 10 of them. I did it as quietly as I could, boss,
Phoenix said through clenched teeth. And that was the moment I'm pretty sure my brother lost his mind. His fingers dug into my back before he pushed me away and turned. Slowly, he rose to his feet, leveling his piercing gaze on Phoenix. I half expected Phoenix to smirk, or laugh, or say something that would have been typical of his character. Then again, Phoenix wasn't the same anymore. From his now dark hair and battered face, he looked like hell. No longer the golden boy, just an empty shell. Almost like he had died, his soul left, and his body stayed.
What the hell?
Nixon spat.
Luca?
Oh shit, there goes the gun.
Tex rose to his feet and leaned against the table, as Nixon pointed a gun to Luca's face. Luca sighed and hung his head.
I'm truly getting too old for this.
Nixon put the gun down. In fact, we need to leave before more come. We'll talk at the house. We talk now!
Nixon yelled, shaking the gun in the air.
Mo's alive, Phoenix said softly.
Tex is alive. Your family?
Phoenix took a step towards Nixon, bumping his chest.
Is alive. Because of that man.
He pointed his finger at Luca without taking his eyes off Nixon.
So I suggest you bury your pride for a few minutes. Think logically about what you're aiming to do, and come to the same conclusion I have. We need to leave. Now.
I gasped, putting my hand over my mouth. Phoenix had never in all his life talked to my brother that way before. I mean, I didn't even boss Nixon around or tell him what he was doing was stupid. That was like asking to get shot. Nixon continued to stare at Phoenix, then slowly lowered his gun and tucked it back into his jeans. Emotion imbued his voice with gravel as he said,
"Let's go."
Each step,
or in my case, hobble to the car hurt. I had Tex on one side of me, refusing to let go of my hand, and Nixon on the other side, gripping my right hand so hard I thought he would break it. So basically, I was like the little plaything between them, the bone between the two pissed-off dogs. Phoenix walked ahead of us, talking in hushed tones with Luca and Frank. I was still trying to appear as shocked as everyone else, when really, I wasn't. Not at all. After all, it was Phoenix who'd come to me and Sergio in the first place. It was Phoenix who was trying to save Tex. It was Phoenix, of all people, who was trying to save my family. Ironic, right? Clearly, our plans had gone awry if he was showing his face, which meant I had to come clean to Tex. I didn't want to. I couldn't. What if he hated me? What if he never kissed me again? Things had just started to get better, well before we got shot at and tortured.
Get in.
Nixon damn near jerked the door from the car and pushed Phoenix inside. Once we were all in the SUV driving back to the house, Chase finally spoke up.
So, this is cozy.
Not now, Chase, Nixon growled.
And that was it. That was the entire conversation, as Sergio made warning glances in my direction from the rearview mirror. Right, I was to keep quiet. Pretty sure I got the message already. Once the SUV was parked in front of the house and we started piling out, Nixon announced,
"Now we talk. And you,"
he pushed Phoenix's chest,
"are going to start at the very beginning."
"He won't remember."
Luca spoke for Phoenix.
"You'll have to ask me."
"And why would I do that?"
Nixon turned his glare on Luca.
"Because."
Luca's shoulders tensed.
"I'm the one who planned it all."
Chapter 29. It may seem like all the mafia does is fight, but what else is there to do when you have endless power and money and several families wanting to lead? Tex. "So does that make Luca your doctor and you Frankenstein?" I asked Phoenix once we got back into the house. "Haha," Phoenix answered.
"You know, you're really not as funny as you used to be."
"Well, you're not as sexy as you used to be."
"So I've been told."
Phoenix grumbled, and holy shit, did he just blush? Nah, I was reading into things. Clearly reading into things. The guy had no conscience. The minute we walked into the house, I crumbled against one of the bar stools and just sat. I was bleeding all over the hardwood, but didn't really care all that much. I was more interested in the fact that Chase had just moved behind Phoenix and was currently flexing his knuckles. It was too late to warn him. So I watched instead as Chase grabbed Phoenix by the shoulders, flipped him around, and punched him in the face. "Oh," I winced. "That'll hurt tomorrow."
"What the hell was that for?"
Phoenix yelled from the floor, blood spewing from his mouth.
"For Mill," Chase spat. "That was for Mill."
"Mill?"
Phoenix shook his head.
"My sister? Why would you care?"
Chase's face paled.
"Oh, shit."
"Chase!" Mill came barreling down the hall and launched herself into Chase's arms and wrapped her legs around his waist. She kissed him so hard even I wanted to look away. Then again, the party was just getting started, so you better believe I watched with rapt attention. Chase kissed her back and slowly pried his wife from his body.
"Mill,"
Phoenix said from the ground, his tone irritated.
"What?"
She looked around and then down. When her eyes locked with his, she burst into tears and fell to her knees.
"Phoenix, is it really you? Are you? What happened? Why are you alive? Not that I'm upset you're alive, you ass."
She punched his shoulder.
How dare you do that to me? I hate you! I hate you!
With a sob, she threw herself against his chest and started bawling. Chase looked completely shell-shocked as he sat at the table and folded his hands over his face. He shook his head a few times before groaning into his palms. After 10 minutes of hysterics, Mill was finally able to talk like a normal human being.
Mill, Nixon snapped, grab Trace and take Mo to the back room. We need to get her cleaned up.
Right. Mill sniffled and rose to her feet. Okay, I can do that. Come on, Mo.
She gripped Mo's hand like a lifeline and led her out of the room. Phoenix didn't move from the floor, just shifted to lean his back against the cabinet. At the table, Chase held his head like it weighed 1,000 pounds, and Frank and Luca were pulling out bottles of whiskey like we were going to light our entire house on fire via alcohol. Nixon took a seat at the table. I jumped down from my stool and joined them, and complete silence followed. The elect were together again, but not really. Two of the pieces were dark, damaged, damned, and broken, and I wasn't so sure we would ever fit back into the mold we'd originally created for ourselves. Lucas sat the bottle in the middle of the table and passed out glasses, while Nixon cleared his throat and whispered,
"I think you should start at the beginning."
Chapter 30. All one big happy mafia family, said no made man ever. Sergio.
Wait! Phoenix held up his hands. First, are you two dating?
He motioned to Chase, a look of pure betrayal on his face. Asks the dead man? Chase growled, his eyes dripping with hatred.
No, you ass, we aren't dating.
Oh! Phoenix breathed a sigh of relief.
We're married.
Chase coughed and looked away. Phoenix pushed back his chair so hard it flipped backwards.
You're what?
Married.